Twentyman Jones remained at Lion Tree Camp for 3 days longer. He went over every line of his report with her, explaining any item of which her understanding was unclear. He opened each of the packages of sampled stones and picked out unusual or typical diamonds with a pair of jeweller's forceps, laid them on the palm of her hand, and pointed out their special features to her.
"Some of these are too small. Do they have any worth at all?"
She rolled the sugar grain chips under her forefinger.
"Those industrials, madam, will be your bread and butter. They will pay your costs. And the big jewellery-grade stones like this one will be the jam on top of it. Strawberry jam, madam, of the very best quality, Cross and Blackwell, if you like."
It was as close as she ever heard him come to a witticism, and even then his expression was morose. The last section of his report was 21 pages of recommendations for the exploitation of the property. "You are extremely fortunate, madam, to be able to open this pipe systematically. All the other great diamond pipes from Kimberley to Vesselton were pegged by hundreds of individual miners, and each started working independently of his neighbour's efforts. The result was utter chaos." He shook his head and tugged at his fluffy white sideburns mournfully. "Hundreds of plots, each 30 feet square, all going down at different speeds, with roadways in between, and a tangle of wires and pulleys and buckets connecting each to the lip. Chaos, madam, pandemonium. Costs inflated, men killed in cave-ins, thousands of extra labourers required, madness." He looked up at her. "While you, madam, have here the opportunity of constructing a model working, and this report," he laid his hand upon it, "explains exactly how you should do it. I have even surveyed the ground and put in numbered pegs to guide you. I have calculated your volumes of earth at each stage. I have laid out your first incline shaft for you and explained how you should plan each level of excavation."
Santerne broke in on his dissertation. "Dr. Twentyman Jones, you keep saying you. You don't expect me personally to perform all these complicated tasks, do you?"
"Good Lord, no. You will have to have an engineer, a good man with experience of earth moving. Ultimately, I envisage that you will be employing several engineers and many hundreds, possibly thousands of men here at the—" He hesitated. "Do you have a name for the property? The Courtney Mine, perhaps?"
She shook her head. "The Hanyi Mine," she told him.
"Unusual. What does it mean?"
"It is the name of the San woman who guided me here."
"Very appropriate, then. Now, as I was saying, you will require a good engineer to put in hand the initial developments that I have outlined.
Do you have a man in mind, sir?"
"Difficult," he mused. "Most of the best men are employed permanently by De Beers, and the others, the one that comes to mind first, was recently crippled in a blasting accident." He thought for a moment. "Now then, I have heard good reports of a young Afrikaner chappie. Never worked with him myself. Damn me. What was his name again? Oh, yes, that's it. De La Rey."
"No!" Santerne exclaimed violently.
"I'm sorry, madam. Do you know him?"
"Yes, I don't want him."
"As you wish. I'll try and think of someone else." In her cot that night, Santerne tossed from side to side, trying to get comfortable, trying to adjust the suffocating weight of the child so that she could sleep. And she thought of Twentyman Jones' suggestion and sat up slowly.
"Why not?" she said aloud in the darkness. "He must return here anyway. A stranger coming here at this time might see more than I would wish him to."
And she cupped both hands under her belly.
"It need only be for the initial development stages. I'll write to Abrahams right now and tell him to send Lothar."
And she lit the lantern and waddled across the tent to her camp table.